A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Are you wearing green, Betsy?
Wait a minute. Yes, green t-shirt.
Your entire shirt is
with
green.
With a giant shamrock on it. Thank you.
I am, yeah.
You are not observant.
I don't always pay the closest attention.
Really?
I am wearing green as well, if the infected finger that I have counts.
Yeah, it's really disgusting.
Do you see that? It is spreading.
Yeah, yes.
I'm going to have to keep an eye on that.
I wish it would just go away so I could quit looking at it.
But it counts. It saves me whatever happens to people who don't wear green.
You get pinched.
All right. Anyway, we're glad to be back. We took a week off last week, but we're back and we're better than ever.
Yeah.
Or at least, let's just say we're back, because I don't want to set up these high bars and expectations and things
that
like that.
That would be great. Yes, we've been at a home show the past couple of weeks, and we learned a lot from the people that we talked to. You know, one of the things that came up a lot that actually surprised me was how many people want to do home projects, but they're just too nervous to even start them.
Well, if that's you, coming up later today, we've got some practical advice to help you get off the couch and get started.
Right. And we're also going to be giving away another $50 to someone who asked a question on our Facebook page. And everyone's just going to have to stay tuned to find out if that's them.
But right now, we're in the studio with Navy SEAL Joe Koons, and we're going to venture off the beaten path just a little bit. Joe, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for inviting me again.
Now, we've had you here multiple times, and we've talked about everything from personal safety to home security, and we've really focused on that part of things. Now, I know at Coverdown Consulting, you do all of those things, but you also have a whole other side, the softer side of Joe, where you talk about being better people. And I guess I'm going to just open the floor and kind of let you run with some of that.
Do I get my card punched again? Because
Joe's talking about the card punch that every time he's on the show, we punch a little spot, and eventually after 10, he gets a free gallon of paint.
Yes.
Yeah, he's racking them up.
Really close.
So every segment I get a punch. That's great. So just like Dan said, I kind of do a lot of security, safety kind of things for schools, for churches. I also do coaching and leadership skills that I can teach different corporate venues.
Because you were a Navy SEAL for how long?
26 years.
26 years.
That is incredible.
You come with all of that.
Yes. So I was, you know, fortunate enough to be able to stay in the community that long because, you know, without injury or whatever, but also I just, they wanted to keep me around that long. I was good. I was healthy enough to stay in. Plus, it was just a great time. I think it was one of the greatest times of my life as far as in that community of warriors that I got to be around with for so long. So many great people, so many great adventures that I was able to go on. And I learned so much. And I just have a passion to share this with other people to make them the best they can be, because I've seen what really lies deep within people. I mean, they can do so much more than what they realize, especially what our culture tells them they can do. And so I see too many people give up or quit or don't pursue things because they think that they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that you can do it. I've seen it. That brings me to one of the, you know, the first lessons I learned in my training when I went to SEAL training, BUDS, Basic Underwater SEAL training. Was we all showed up about a week before training. And so there was about 214 of us that showed up. I mean, men from all over the country. I mean, from different backgrounds, different, you know, cultures. We even had three people from different countries. They were all officers, and we do a program where they go through our program, and then they go back to their country. Now, the basic underwater demolition SEAL training is not necessarily where they teach anything that's, you know, secret or anything. It's more or less just a gut check.
Right.
And so they just come over here to get a gut check. So anyways, these people all show up, and the first time we all get together is we're going to cut our hair. We got to cut our hair all off and show up. So first day of training, we got to show up all, you know, paint our helmets green and show up with our haircut. So I remember this guy showing up. We were down on the beach doing this. It was like a big party, and this guy comes riding up on his Harley, big old ape hangers. He looked like Cold Stone Steve Austin. I mean, he was bald head, muscular, tats everywhere, just very impressive. And he had this like leather skull cap on, and even had this really like gorgeous motorcycle chick on the back of his bike. I don't know what he's trying, but anyways, he shows up, and we're all just looking, going, "What is this guy doing here?" Well, we didn't know at first that he was going to be enrolled, and he's going to be going through with us as a student. And so everybody's looking at him like, wow, man, this guy's going to make it. He looks like Rambo, right? And all this stuff. And he was talking all this talk, you know, and just craziness, you know. And so it takes about 4 weeks before we actually go to Hell Week. And that's like the first check to try to weed out as many people as you can so the government doesn't have to waste any more money on you. And usually, you know, you'll find out real quickly who's going to stick around and who's not.
Right.
So it's a really quick way to do that. So anyways, first night, a Sunday night, it starts called Breakout, and it's just chaotic gunfire. I mean, it's just smoke grenades and explosions everywhere, and they're making you just all over you. It's just stress and physical activity. You're just getting a beat down and wet and sandy and all kinds of stuff for like the first 2 hours. And then they take us out to the surf zone, and they're going to do, they call it surf torture. And so you all line up and link arms, and you turn around and you sit down in the surf so the waves just kind of sit there and pound on you, and you're kind of hanging on, and you're getting washed up and down the beach a little bit. And it's cold. You've been cold already. It's at night, and it's, you know, the Pacific Ocean doesn't usually warm up too much at all. So anyways, nobody's quit yet, and we have a bell. The bell comes around with us all the time, and so all you have to do, because it's the volunteer program, all you have to do is ring the bell 3 times, and they encourage this. I mean, they encourage you to ring the bell. They tell you to quit. They tell you all kinds of things. They have hot coffee and pizza and all donuts waiting for you if you quit, and a warm fire and all kinds of things. I mean, they want to try to lure you to quit any way they can. And so what happens is we're not in the water more than, I mean, not even probably 3 minutes getting surf tortured. And all of a sudden we hear the bell ring. Ding, ding, ding. Everybody looks on the beach, and guess who it is? It's Cold Stone Steve Austin. He's already out ringing the bell.
Eating
and out
pizza.
After all the, you know, 5 weeks we had to endure all the talk he talked about how bad he was and all this. And again, he even looked the part. And all of a sudden, he's the first guy on the beach ringing the bell. And, you know, what goes through your mind is, oh, my goodness, am I going to be able to make it? If he can't make it, how am I not? Right. How am I going to make it? All this stuff and things, you know, it's actually kind of a psychological.
I can imagine that.
Yeah. And then you're going, well, maybe what's going on? Well, then you start to learn that the intestinal fortitude or the mental toughness that you develop over the time, or that you realize that, again, you can do 10 times more than what you think. The instructors pound this in your head and they teach you all these things. They break you down, but at the same time, they're building you back up. And it wasn't until 6 months later, we're all standing there at graduation, and we look down the line, and out of that 214, there's 21 originals standing there. And I looked down, and I didn't see any Rambos. I saw one guy. He was shorter and small little guy, but he had what it takes. I mean, he had fire in the gut, they call it. There was a lot of guys. There's guys like me. I mean, I look like a normal guy. I wasn't like this big Rambo guy.
Well, it depends on
I was going to say, when you're
perception.
Standing next to Dan.
Well, that's why I like to stand by
muscular.
Dan.
I just am small. And I don't know how muscular.
A little package.
I'm more chubby than muscular. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Joe Koons from Coverdown Consulting, and we're talking about mental toughness, what it takes to survive whatever's coming. Now, Joe just went through a story about Navy SEAL training and Hell Week. And, you know, we've all heard stories about that. We've seen things on television. Most of us have not experienced it, so it's very interesting to hear it from that point of view.
Right.
But how do you take that story and then apply it to everybody's life?
Well, what I do is I think as an individual, or sometimes I'll talk to groups of young men, or even, you know, co-ed groups. And I want to encourage them, and I want to explain to them some of the experiences that I had, and they can kind of relate to that. But at the same time, what I want to teach them is, what exactly is the mental toughness? Because you hear that buzzword all the time, and And it's something that you can develop. It's a habit that you get into where you start to succeed. You start to overcome some of your shortcomings. You know, certain things of like self-talk, setting goals, all these different things. I mean, one of the things when we set goals, some of these people that quit in Buds, they would look at the big picture and they would get so overwhelmed that they would just quit because they would talk themselves and say, I can't do this for 6 months.
That's very interesting to me. And I want to hold on to that because what you're talking about is really good, but we've got to take a break. And I don't want to cut him off later. So we're going to cut him off now. And can you hang with us through the break? And we'll punch your card again.
Yes.
All right. Joe will be with us after the break. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Welcome back. We're sitting here in the studio with Joe Koons from Coverdown Consulting, Navy SEAL of 26 years, right?
Yes.
And at least 24 of those, you were valuable to the team.
Yeah,
right?
Probably,
so that's
yeah.
pretty good.
So
yeah.
The last 2 years he wasn't? Is that what
yeah, probably the first 2 years.
I've been at Repco Light for 20 years, and I think I'm just now starting to maybe carry my own weight here a little bit.
Well, you got 26 more then.
Exactly. But Joe, you were talking about mental toughness. You were talking about how we can get through things, you know, and it's not about us being super strong or super amazing, which is very important to me because I'm none of those things. I'm not Stone Cold Steve Austin like you described in the first one.
Does anybody even know who that is anymore?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay.
But yeah, you described the story of a guy who reminded you of him, and yet he's the first one out when it came to SEAL training. Now, you were just talking at the end of the last segment about how people in real life, and you know, we're not talking SEALs anymore, we're talking everyday life, everybody's life, we quit because we see the big picture, we look at the big picture, and we get freaked out. Where were you going to go with that before I so rudely interrupted? Mm-hmm.
So talking kind of about goals and setting those goals, people get so hung up and they look too far ahead. And what happens? They get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I think in the SEAL training, it's magnified because people are getting beat down and it's just a very, you know, you're getting just all the time. It's just physical. They're trying to break you down, rebuild you to a point. And you thinking, wow, I got to do this for 6 months. There's no way. And you just give up. Your mind just gives up. And so the body follows.
So how do you avoid that?
So what
happens? So natural.
So the people that overcome, they break it down in chunks and they just say, listen, I got to have these small victories. So if I can just make it till lunchtime, if I can just get to lunchtime, I'm good. So your goal is to say, all I got to do is make it to lunchtime. And then lunchtime, you start your new goal. I got to make it to dinner time. And so you break it down in these small little chunks. And sometimes they're in like 5 minute increments.
Sure.
And sometimes it's, you know, a half a day.
It's specific to
exactly.
the situation.
And so when you get to that point, that's a positive thing in your mind saying, I can do it again. As all these victories add up, it builds your confidence. It gives you encouragement. And so you keep going down the line. And before you know it, wow, it's a week's passed, a month's passed. I am standing here. It's 6 months. I'm graduating. Wow. And it's because you focused on smaller chunks of it instead of looking at the big picture.
So many bad things happen. I mean, whatever situation you're in life, you know, kids in college, you know, we hear about suicides. We hear about all of these things and so many bad things happen, so many sad, depressing things. But it's because of that we're looking at this grand, huge picture that we're not even sure is accurate.
Exactly.
You know, but at the time, it seems accurate. But it also happens with things like a home project, you know, to spin it that way. People look at an entire house that they've got to redo, and it almost makes you just not want to start.
That's me.
Right.
But Joe, you need to start with a room. Let's get that smaller chunk done. When it's, you know, back to the college thing, let's get through this scenario. Yeah. Set a goal that you can get through.
And that's,
so whatever situation you're in life,
exactly,
set smaller goals.
And that, and you know, even with raising your kids, I mean, parents who are trying to raise their kids and they're going through a tough point with their kid or a tough phase in their kid, and they go, I can't do this anymore. This is just, this is how my life is going to be, or this is how it's like, this is a chapter, this is just a point, and can we get through this, and have we done it before? Same in a marriage. I can't, my marriage is terrible, I can't do this for the rest of my life. It's like, hey, get through the neck that day, get through that week, you know, try things. I mean, there's all kinds of different things you can try to improve those situations, but you have to see that there's going to be improvement.
Well,
you're going
to
have successes.
Quit telling yourself, you know, back to your Navy SEAL story, you need to quit telling yourself, well, that person's going to make it because of, you know, their physical characteristics, or that couple will make it because, well, they just, you know, they really get along and they can pull it off. Yeah. Like you said, the people who made it through Hell Week, you look down the line and there weren't anybody that you would have said, wow, I would have picked that person from the beginning.
I mean, maybe over time when I saw how mentally tough they were and how they were,
then you can start,
you know,
pick
then you can, but in the moment at the beginning, there was no way I couldn't have decided who was going to make it. Even, you know, and I knew myself I was going to make it, but unless I got injured or something, you know, there was something that I just couldn't pass because I was, you know, whatever it might be, a run, a swim, whatever. But again, unless it's like a physical injury, most guys, they don't go in there. I mean, if you would have raised your hand, if I would have said, who's going to be a Navy SEAL, everybody would have raised their hand and said, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. But at the end of the day, or at the end of the training, how many are standing there? 21 original people are standing there. What makes them different? Well, sometimes we talk about the why. Why do you want to be here? The emotional content, the passion. I can say in my mind, I'm going to make it, but if I don't have something that's in my heart or that passionately, emotionally, that's going to drive me, I'm probably going to fail.
Can you manufacture that?
Of course you can.
Okay.
I mean,
how do I manufacture that, Joe? I want to put my little Oompa Loompa factory to work here. And
well, let's think of some emotions that are very powerful that drive.
Fear.
What's another one?
Love. Hate.
I was just going to say hate.
So you have these three that are super powerful, right?
Yep.
And people have done some crazy things that you would think, there's no way people would do those.
Well,
love. I mean, they've done extraordinary feats. They've sacrificed their life. Same thing for fear, whatever. So how do you turn an emotion into a passion that's like, why do you want this, say, to be a Navy SEAL? Is it because of your love for country? Is it because that it's a lineage of a family that's served the military? Is it something you want to? I want my family to be proud of me. It's something that, hey, I have this desire to protect and serve people. I mean, there's people that have this innate thing that's what they want to do. They become a police officer, a firefighter, or a military person. So there's these things that drive them. If it's just say, I just want to see if I can do it or something like that, usually those things aren't strong enough to keep you when times get really tough. Those things don't hold you into, you know, when you're going through adversity. So being committed and having an emotional tie, that's your why. Why do you want to be here? Sometimes I can ask somebody, what's your why? And if it's, I could usually determine at that point a little bit like, nah, he's not going to make it, or unless something changes, that's not strong enough. So,
well, I think even that is a good gut check. Just, why am I doing this? And if it doesn't seem to be a why that's going to get me through, I can adjust that, I would think.
Yeah. Like even with a marriage or whatever it is. I mean, why do you want to save this marriage? Is it strong enough? Is it because of love? Is it because of something? Can you weather the storms? You know, I have, you know, calm seas never made a good sailor. So, you know, you go through those rough storms, those rough points in your life, and are you committed enough to get through the other side? And when you do, then you have a victory. Mm-hmm. You can celebrate. It builds confidence, builds encouragement, and then you can weather the next storm even easier or better. And especially if you're going through with somebody else, like a spouse or your kids or whatever it might be, those things always make your team tighter. Like when men go to war together, those bonds that are built because of trust and the adversity they went to together are unbreakable sometimes.
Well, Joe, that's all the time we've got. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, how's the best way they can do that?
Just give me a call at 619-988-1491, and if I don't pick up, just leave a message and I'll get back with you.
Joe's all about security, you're not going to get through. He's
and that
got multiple
is
levels.
619, not 616. We always have to make that very clear because some people end up calling the wrong number.
Yes. Anyway, Joe, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Hey, great to be on here. And again, anytime I can come back.
Yeah, you're almost for more punches.
Almost got your punch card filled.
All right. Now, when we come back, we're giving away $50 to the person who asked our Facebook question today. And we're also going to tell you why shortcuts do not always pay. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, have you ever noticed that sometimes people take shortcuts and end up at places they never ever wanted to be? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes. Usually I just get lost on my way when I take a shortcut.
Yes. I guess I'm thinking more, you know, concept-wise. Okay, shortcuts in projects, mm-hmm. shortcuts in life.
Yes.
I take a lot of shortcuts in life.
Yeah.
And I end up in a lot of bad places.
Huh. I can't imagine.
For example, this happened a while ago. I wish I could say that it was really, really long ago, but it was probably just a few years.
Uh-huh.
But still. Anyway. So it's late one Sunday night.
Okay.
I'm in the shower. Mm-hmm. Getting ready for bed. You know, I don't know what time it was, but it's late. I'm going to get out of the shower and go to bed. Well, I never brought my little go-to-bed clothes. I guess they call those pajamas.
Yes, they do.
So I didn't have my pajamas with me. So rather than get all dressed back in my regular clothes to walk through the hallway to go to the bedroom and then change again, I decided I'm going to just skip the getting dressed stage. I'm going to take a shortcut on this, and I'm going to just wander the halls in my underpants.
Okay.
I'm sorry for the visual image that is now being formed.
Mm.
So I figured there's not going to be a problem. The kids won't be around. Anyway, it turns out they were. I come walking down the hallway, and there's my son standing near my bedroom door with his iPhone.
Okay.
And he's looking at some video, and he is laughing hysterically.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of interested, and you know, I kind of wander up behind him, and I'm looking on the screen, and he's just looking at somebody else, you know, somebody on a video, just a face on a video. And I thought, I don't understand why this is so funny. This all happened very quickly.
Okay.
That's important to understand. Anyway, so I'm watching this little video for a little bit, and the person on the other end, some kid, he's laughing hysterically. And my son is laughing hysterically, and I have no idea what's so funny in the video. And as I'm staring there trying to figure out what's going on, I notice another little video, like a picture-in-picture thing in the far. Do you understand what's happening?
Yes, I do.
He is on FaceTime. And I'm standing there in my underwear.
And the other kid can see you.
Yes, there I am. And then I could see his family in the background. They were around a couch. All of it became clear, and I hit the floor.
So all of these other people are seeing you in your underpants.
Yes. I hit the floor, crawled to the bedroom, put my clothes on, and was utterly humiliated. And just because it's such a great end of the story, everybody would think, of course, that, you know, maybe they didn't notice or maybe they mercifully let it go. No. The next time I saw this kid, he said, my family and I laughed for days.
I thought he was going to compliment you on your underpants. Like maybe you had Superman underpants or something.
And he laughed so hard because of my little foray through their video in my underpants. Shortcuts. That's what shortcuts get you.
Shortcuts
a lot of pain,
don't pay.
A lot of pain, a lot of embarrassment. And in the world of home improvement, there are tons of shortcuts that everybody wants to take.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we find a project we don't want to do, and we try to find an easy way around it. Well, right now, on today's Ask Repcolite segment, we're going to deal with a shortcut question that we get all the time. And we're going to give away $50 in the process.
Yeah, that's awesome. Our question today comes from Little Biv. Yes, that is her Facebook
Little
moniker.
Little Biv. I would never call myself Little Dan because I'm already little enough. I don't need to
Well, lucky
that.
For you, you call yourself little enough that people actually think you're taller than...
It's working.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, Little Biv.
Little Biv. So her question is this. Which is the best primer and or paint to use when painting over wallpaper? Now, this is a question that we actually get a lot because people do not want to go through stripping wallpaper.
Nobody cheers when they think they got to strip the wallpaper.
And it was miserable, or they've heard that it's going to be miserable, so they just don't want to do it. And painting over it seems like the best possible option.
Right. It seems like a great creative solution.
Yes.
It's a shortcut.
Yes.
But like my little jaunt through the house in my underpants, these kinds of shortcuts can end badly. So, Little Biv.
Yeah.
We don't recommend any paint or primer to put over your wallpaper. We just don't recommend that you do this. I know it seems like a great way to go, but it's going to cause more misery down the road. So here are three quick reasons why you probably don't want to paint over your wallpaper.
Right.
The first one is that the seams are going to show. People don't realize this. The pattern on the paper hides the seams. It's designed to do that.
Right.
When you hide that pattern with a solid color paint, all of those seams jump out at you.
Right. And it gets even worse if you happen to be doing this in a bathroom or someplace where you want a little bit shinier paint. The more sheen you have, the more those seams are going to show, and it just looks really bad.
Right. You're going to see every single strip of paper that was hung on that wall as if it's highlighted.
And someone's going to say, hey, you painted over your wallpaper.
Yes. It's not going to look like a smooth wall.
No.
And there's not a great way to deal with those seams. So that's the first reason.
Right.
The second reason not to paint over your paper is that moisture in the paint can actually potentially loosen the wallpaper's adhesive,
yeah,
which can cause the paper to start coming down off the wall.
And now you have an even bigger problem
yes.
than if you had just stripped the wallpaper in the first place.
It's still a smaller problem than wandering through the house in your underpants while everybody's on FaceTime.
I'm not sure that that's a smaller problem because now you have paste everywhere and part of your wall has come down.
Are you downplaying the misery of my FaceTime
yes,
experience?
Yes, I am.
It was terrible.
For you, everyone else had great joy out of it because, you know, they all got a laugh.
A YouTube video of that out
there. Oh, I'm sure there is.
Oh, I hope not. Anyway, those are two reasons. The third reason,
yes.
and this is my big reason. This is why I completely never recommend this project.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this and paint over that paper, stripping the paper down the road is going to be monumentally more difficult.
Right. It's so much harder to cut through that first layer of paint or potentially two layers of paint and then get to that wallpaper that's behind it, score that so that you can get your wallpaper stripping solution to penetrate through and get all of that paste to dissolve.
It becomes so complicated, so frustrating that down the road you are going to be utterly miserable and really ruin the day that you painted it.
Yes. So what happens if you're moving and you just want to get rid of that paper because you just want to sell your house and not have to deal with this?
Right. I can imagine a lot of people sitting there right now thinking, that's my situation. I just got to get it looking better.
Right.
I got to cover up that 70s stuff so I can put the house on the market.
Right.
I'd still recommend don't do it.
Exactly. It's just a bad idea. And the poor people who buy your house are then stuck with what you've done when they want to make those walls nice and smooth and perfect again.
They're
so
going to have to go through all of that extra work to get that paper off.
Yes.
I know it seems convenient to want to just paint over it mm-hmm. and make it look good, but there's a lot of reasons not to. If you
right.
do have to, despite everything we said, you decide you want to do that, you can do it. It can be done. We don't recommend it. I want to make sure I've said that multiple times. But if you are going to do it, just get the walls cleaned, give them a light washing, prime them with an oil-based primer, and then go ahead and put a couple coats of your finish on, whatever finish you choose.
Right.
But again, the best way is just to bite the bullet and strip the paper off and do it right. And that project isn't as bad as you might think.
No, we talked about it in episode 36. And really, we can walk you through everything that you will need to know. You can go listen to that episode on our archives page. That's at repcolite.com. Just click that on the radio tab at the top and you'll see the drop down menu for archives. Or you can stop out at any Repcolite or Port City Paint store and we'll walk you through everything that you need to know to get that wallpaper off of your walls.
Exactly. Or honestly, you can just email Betsy and I at radio@repcolite.com and we'll be happy to answer those questions that way as well.
Exactly.
Whatever works for you.
Yes.
So there you go, little Biv. Thanks for asking that question on Facebook. We'll send you a gift certificate for $50. We'll be in touch via Facebook to figure out the best way to get that to you. Everybody else, ask more questions. Go to Repcolite's Facebook page, post a question. If we answer it on air, you'll get $50 that you can use in the store. Now, all right, when we come back, are you a DIY expert, a guru, somebody who has all the answers?
No.
Or are you one of the vast multitudes of people who feel like we just don't know enough to jump into most of these projects? We're nervous. We're concerned that we're going to screw something up. Well, the thing is, you don't have to be nervous. You can accomplish these things, and we're going to tell you everything you need to know so you can. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to probably, I think conservatively, I can say this is probably one of the most life-changing experiences you're going to have listening to the radio. Welcome back to that.
Wow.
I mean, don't you think that's fair to say? The Repcolite Home Improvement Show, changing lives since April of last year. Maybe not. It's changed my life.
Yeah.
It's made me humbler.
Oh,
a more humble person.
Right.
A more humbler?
If
no.
this is humble, can anyone picture him not humble?
Anyway, let's just move on. Let's stop psychoanalyzing me and get to the important stuff.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Every time I make a bold claim, you've got to poke holes in it. I just want to have a big head for a little bit without you squishing it.
Yeah, well,
stop squishing it.
Yeah,
Betsy.
I like hearing the pop as your balloon goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the home shows for the past couple weeks, we talked to a ton of people. Absolutely a ton of people.
Boatloads of them.
And one of the things that we came away with that was very interesting is that many people, in fact, most people, I dare say, want to tackle a home project. Yeah. Of any kind, whether it's painting. In our instance, it was painting. But they want to tackle these projects. Mm-hmm. But so many people are afraid to. They don't want to jump in because they're nervous about it.
Right. And in talking to all of these people, there seem to be three main reasons why they don't jump into home projects. The first one is, I just don't know enough. I have no idea, so I don't do it. The next one is, I'm not good enough, which, I mean, who among us hasn't been there? I'm not good enough to do this.
Oh, go ahead.
Right.
I don't want to interject.
Of course, the humble across from me.
Yes, the more humble man knows that he's not good enough.
Right. And the last one is, the project is just simply too big. I don't even know where to start.
Right.
It's just, I can't do this.
They all seem like really good excuses, but they're not. For example, let's look at the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked to so many experts on this show, and one of the things that has been most eye-opening for me that I've come away with is that very few people start smart.
Yeah.
Most of these experts explain that there were points where they didn't know what they were dealing with. They had to dig into it. They had to learn. Remember Bob Snowden, a builder in Granville? He was on the show several weeks ago, and he talked about exactly that. There was always something that he's learning, and even now, there's always something that we're learning. Plumbers, carpenters, everybody is constantly learning. Nobody starts with all of this knowledge.
Including us.
Well, of course, us.
Well, we're learning. You know, we put that floor in your bathroom and, you know, did the toilet. We screwed up. We're not afraid to admit it. We are learning.
Right. But you need to start in order to start learning.
Right.
To wait and wait until you know it all means you're never going to start. And the thing is, there is so much information out there. You can get the information you need. Talk to the experts. Mm. Give them a call. One of the things that we've learned about experts in their field is that they love to talk about their field.
Yes.
Very rarely are they going to charge you for that information. Mm-hmm. They're happy to talk about it.
Yeah.
They're excited that somebody else is interested in what they're saying. Everybody loves talking to people who are interested in hearing what they've got to say.
Right. And, you know, the internet is a great resource. There's all kinds of videos and articles, things like that, step by step. It will help you go and check it out, find out what you need to know.
Right. So that first excuse, I don't know enough, that's kind of a
lame
excuse. Get rid of that one.
Yep.
The second excuse that we ran into is, I'm not good enough.
Right.
Now, often we refer to this as the paralysis of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to wait to jump into a project until they've figured everything out, until they know how to do it flawlessly.
Right, but we very rarely ever arrive at the perfection point.
Speak for yourself,
right,
Betsy.
Right, of course. Mr.
No.
Humble across from me, I forgot.
No,
you are
newsflash. I just want to let people know, I have not yet arrived at perfection. I'm on the doorstep. I'm knocking on the door of perfection.
You've been standing there a while.
I have been there for ages. I've got a little tent and a pile of garbage that I've collected, because nobody will let me in.
Well, but the great thing is, even if you are standing at the door of perfection, you don't hesitate to jump in. Now, maybe that hasn't always been the case, but I've learned in working with you that you just do it. It's like, well, what's the worst that can happen? I just don't get it done. I learned something along the way, and you just do it.
And
that's
I learned something that I can talk about on the radio. That is part of the fun of this, is if something goes really badly, it's just an object lesson for everybody, and it can be funny.
Right.
And the thing is, we all learn from our failures. In fact, we learn more from our failures than we often do from our successes.
Exactly. Now, the third excuse, and we hear this excuse all the time at RepColite, is the project is just too big. People are just so overwhelmed when they look at this project, and that makes them not want to start.
Right. This is exactly what Joe was talking about in the first and second segments of the show. He talked about people looking at the big picture. We always tell everybody, look at the big picture.
Right.
Just step back and look at the big picture.
Yes.
And a lot of the times that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But in home improvement projects, it's the opposite of what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to see the big picture of where you're going.
Right.
But when you get ready to jump in, stop looking at the big picture because it makes you freak out about all the work that needs to be done. Instead, dial it down and look at smaller parts of the project. And then you'll see it in manageable chunks that you can accomplish rather than this great big whole canvas that you'll never get done.
Right. And then that also helps because you can see that you are accomplishing things. You can see the baby steps that you've taken and the progress that you're making, and that helps push you forward. Now, let's just take maybe you want to redo the outside of your house. Start small. Maybe you just paint your porch, fix some windows, do some shutters, these small little projects until you finally get to painting your whole house.
Exactly. We're talking about reasons to get up off the couch and start tackling some of the projects that you've been afraid to tackle on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. Mm-hmm. And now everything we just said sounds great, and it's kind of the big theory. Mm-hmm. Now let's kind of make it practical. Let's talk about what it looks like in the real world. And honestly, this could be made practical in terms of any home improvement application, car repairs, carpentry work, plumbing, you name it. But right now, because, you know, we're Repco Light, let's look at it in terms of paint projects.
Yeah.
Now, at the home show, we talked to a ton of people who felt that they weren't painters, who just wanted to paint their kitchen. You know, they had cabinet jobs that they wanted to do. They wanted to get those cabinets painted.
Right.
But they kept telling us, I'm not a painter. I'm not good at it. I can't do it.
Right.
Well, the thing is, if that's you, all you need to do is start now and start small. So paint every single closet in your home. That is a great place to start.
Yeah, it allows you to hide anything where you screw up. You know, a lot of people aren't sure about cutting in. They say that that's the worst thing for them. So do it in a closet. No one will ever see it. And by the time you get done with every closet in your house, you will have mastered cutting in and your rolling technique.
Right. And best of all, you don't need to do a great job.
No.
You know, you don't have that pressure because, again, nobody's going to see it.
Right.
But when you're done, you'll still have made tremendous improvements in your home. Your closets will look much better. They'll be much cleaner.
Right.
All of that going. It's a great place to start. If you've not done a lot of painting before, start with something like that. Or paint a single wall in a bedroom, an accent wall.
Right. Or even a basement workshop. That's a great place to do it where it's away and no one's going to see it except you. That's a fantastic way to start.
Now, if you're one of the people who wants to paint kitchen cabinets, but you're feeling extremely overwhelmed with a project like that, again, start small. Start in a bathroom.
Yeah, that's a great idea because you just have, usually bathrooms have, just a small cabinet, just a couple doors. This will allow you to get your technique down, and it'll also allow you to kind of judge how much time something is going to take you. Just multiply it by how many cabinets you have in your kitchen, and if you have a couple bathrooms, then you'll be golden by the time it's kitchen time.
Right. So all of these little projects pay off in a number of ways. You're going to learn and develop new skills. Mm-hmm. You're going to gain confidence for the next job. Mm. You're going to also begin to acquire some of the tools that are necessary. That often is a great big obstacle to jumping into a great big project. All of a sudden, you've got not just the paint, let's say, to buy, but all the tools.
Yeah.
But if you start with a closet, you get a few of these tools, and they're not disposable. You know, trays and some of those things will stay with you from project to project. So you'll acquire them over time. Finally, you're going to be improving your home at the same time. So it's a win-win-win-win. Four wins. Lots more. I'm sure there's more wins involved. It's the perfect thing. Everybody should be doing it right now.
Right. And if you do run into any issues with any sort of painting project, come into one of our Repco Light stores or Port City Paints and ask us. You know, we help people all the time. We will show you how to cut in, give you an idea, send you home, and then you can try it. And when and if problems do come up, we're just a phone call or possibly an email away.
Speaking of problems, we have one. The show is officially over for today. Well, not quite yet, but it's getting close. A collective groan, I imagine, goes up amongst everybody listening.
I'm sure.
Don't you think?
Yes.
I can almost hear it. I can feel the angst, the anxiety.
Mm.
But don't worry. Everybody out there, you can listen to this one again or go back and listen to any of the other episodes just by going to repcolite.com and checking out our archives page.
Right. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our email newsletter. Every month, we send out a brief email with a gift certificate or some other sort of savings. And it's a great way to save money on the next project. You can find that link on our homepage.
Well, now that Saturday is officially underway, signing off, get out there and have a good one. Have a great St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Jump into a paint project. you're going to feel happier about yourself.
Yes.
And if you do, stop by any Repco Light or Port City Paints, and we'll help you get started. We're open until 3 today. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you rise from the ashes of that last failed paint project like a phoenix.
Wow, that's so dramatic.
It is dramatic. It's cool. Thanks for listening.